Well, we want to thank you for inviting us here. For you that this may, you don't know why you're here. I do, but you don't know why you're here, is that back in May, I ended up in the hospital and died. And according to the official records, I was, what do you call it, prolonged cardiac arrest for an hour and 45 minutes. And so it's a miracle that I stand here before you. Even after they brought me back, they did not think I would make it the next few days. I always told my wife this. I always told her, I said, if I ever die and go to heaven, do not pray me back. As you can see, she didn't listen to me at all. So she has a part of the story that talks about me coming back, the healing that took place in my body, what the doctor said. They didn't have hope for me, those type of things. The rallying of the friends that we have around us that prayed, all those type of things. Me standing before you is a miracle in itself. If you don't believe in healing, if you don't think that God is doing miracles today, okay, then let me be a testimony that he is.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you hear, and you can go to the doctors at Tacoma General Hospital, they call me the miracle man. When I came back, they said it was a miracle. As one nurse said, we have bad outcomes with your cases. So God is still healing. Not only is he healing, he bringing people back from the dead. And I'm a living testimony here on this earth that he's doing that. So anyone tonight that is seeking God to heal you, he's still healing. You don't have to question. If you're praying for someone to be healed, he's still healing. You don't have to question. And I hope tonight that you find out that it is not a formula. You know what I'm talking about? You have to do A, B, and C, and D, and E, and F, and G, and then someone gets healed. That's not our Father. That's not our Lord. If you understand how much he loves us, you will find out that his mercy and his grace oversee a lot of things that we do that are not important. A lot of things that are not important. His mercy and his grace. I say it like this. There's things we will do that will not keep us out of heaven. And there's things we will do that will not get us into heaven. But if you want to keep on doing them, it's okay. That's up to you. But his mercy and his grace are just endless. My wife led the charge to bring me back. Beautiful woman. I love her dearly. And she'll tell you her part of the story. And then I'll get up and tell you mine of what I experienced when I was with Jesus.
Praise God. He doesn't have the mic anymore. Sometimes he just forgets that he's talking with the mic and he's over here like this. But anyway, I love to tease him about that. Praise God. Thank you so much for having us here. It is an honor and a great blessing to be here. And I just want to thank Pastor John for opening the door and making the way and God is just so good, and I want to just give him all the praise and the glory and the honor for what he did in me and through me and to me during this time to build character, to build strength, to press in to him who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that you just open the ear of every hearer tonight, Lord God. And Lord, we are here to instill and to release faith and encouragement in your people, oh God. And Lord, I just ask that you bless the people here tonight, Father. And Lord, that you would build them up, Father God. And I don't know why it all happened, Father, but I know that you are the one to get all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it all began on May 4th of just this past year when Dean was in the hospital with kidney stones, and he happened to go in on May 4th into the emergency room at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way. Well, he ended up in the emergency room, and I got a call on my cell phone. I checked my voicemail, for I was at work at Tacoma General at the time, and there was a voicemail that said, "Your husband is in the emergency room. Can you come and pick him up?" So I got off from work about noon that day and went to go pick him up. He then was sleeping when I got there because they had given him pain medication, and so he was pretty much out of it and, you know, off and on. But the doctor came to me, and he told me that it would be great if they could just keep my husband overnight and have him receive antibiotics, IV, you know, going through the fluids, antibiotic fluids going through his vein, and that they would keep him overnight and give him lots of fluids, because not only did he have kidney stones, but that he had a bad infection as well. So, of course, we agreed to this. So Dean was later moved to a different room, and he was transferred there on the floor. And the surgery doctor came in, the kidney specialist came in, and wanted to know if possibly from looking at the x-rays that Dean had multiple kidney stones, and he had one that was really high up on his right side. And it would be great if they could just go in there and blast those kidney stones, to break those kidney stones up, because there was a machine that was available to do that the next morning. And, of course, you know, we agreed to have that done. But before I left the hospital that evening, Dean was starting to have chills and a fever, and he was just shaking real bad. And of course, even while the doctor was there, Dean was still just kind of in and out of the conversation, because if you've never taken medications before, they will knock you out. Because your body is not used to that, and so he was pretty much out of it. So I left that night and went home. The next morning when I got to the hospital, Dean had a temperature of 104. It was pretty bad. Yeah, he had a temperature of 104. But they took him into surgery anyway, which, you know, that alone surprised me that they would take you into surgery with that high of a temp. But they thought that since it was just kidney stones, that he could be out of there right away and the temperature wouldn't matter. Well, he goes into surgery, and he's in surgery, and he comes out, and he is in recovery for almost 3 hours. And usually, if any surgery that you have, you're out of recovery within an hour. But he had to be monitored because of the infection that was so bad, and they had blasted these stones, had broken up these stones, and they give you these shock treatments they give you. And he had had shock treatments on his right side and his left side from the transcripts, and it was like 2,400 shocks on each side. Well, the last half hour I spent with Dean in the recovery room, and he was complaining about his oxygen mask being real uncomfortable, and he had the oxygen in his nose, and the nurse changed it and tried to give him something else to make him breathe better. And then the anesthesiologist came in to talk with me, and she told me at that time that Dean had a real bad kidney infection and that he needed to go into the ICU to receive more antibiotics and fluids and to be monitored. And, of course, you know, at that time, during this time, we had flights to go out and pick up our son in Dallas, for he was going to Christ for the Nation's Bible College. And so we had to cancel flights and thinking that we could take him, you know, later on. But, of course, that didn't happen. So they admitted Dean to the ICU. So when he got there, there was a critical care doctor there, and he wanted to put a PICC line in Dean. Now, a PICC line is, you know, when you go into the hospital, for some of you that don't know, you have IVs in your arm, and they're giving you fluids through these. But a pig line will give you access for blood draws, and maybe they can release you from some of the other IV lines. So they wanted to place this pig line in Dean's neck. And Dean was going to have that done. And I talked to him just a little bit prior to that happening. So as I left the room for them to take care of this, this situation. And I was in the waiting area. But when I got back, the pig line wasn't in Dean's neck as they thought to have it done. And it was, in his chest instead. But I looked at Dean at the time, and he looked as though he was half dead. He was barely breathing. And I asked the doctor, I said, "What happened to my husband?" And he said, "Well, we reached a blockage in his neck, and so we had to put it in his chest." But we have transcripts at home, and the transcript said that they attempted to put that pig line in his neck 3 times. So I don't know what happened with all that. But immediately the doctor looked at me and said, "We need to intubate your husband right away or else he could die." So during that time, I had no choice in the matters. But intubation is where they put a tube down your throat to help you to breathe, and they put you on a ventilator so that it can help you breathe in your lungs. So he said, "We need to intubate your husband right away or else he could die." And there was no choice in the matter. So I said, "Okay." And I walked out of the room. And, of course, I was praying for him. But I thought, well, there is nothing I can do right now. So I decided, we live about 5 minutes from the hospital, so I decided to go home. And I was going to pick up some things and come back to the hospital and just be there with Dean. And but as I left the hospital and I got on to the street, a phone call came, and it was one of his doctors, the one that broke the kidney stones. And he said, "Marilyn, your husband just coded. His heart stopped, and they are doing CPR on him right now." And I said, "Okay." And I hung up the phone. I called my son and my daughter. Still on the way home, I called up my son and my daughter, and I told them to pray for their dad. And at that time, I called up other friends and family and just said, "Start praying, because they're working on Dean right now. They're doing CPR on him." So things have started to spiral. Things just got crazy, and I can't tell you why. Excuse me. But I had a friend who was coming to the hospital, and I called her up, and I said, "I'm on my way home. Could you?" And she said, I'm coming now, Becca." And I told her Dean's situation. And she said, "I'll drop by there and I'll pick you up." So she came and she picked me up, and we got there to the hospital. And with all the phone calling that I had did, we had about 9 of us there in the waiting area, in the waiting room about that time, praying and interceding for Dean. But, during that time, it was like, some of you may think, now, why didn't she turn around and go back to the hospital, right? They're doing CPR on her husband. But how many of you know that if they're doing, and the nurses and doctors are working on your loved one, that they're not going to let you in the room anyway, so what's the use? So I just continued to go home, and I prayed, and I just interceded and cried out to God, and I thanked him. I really did, even in the midst of the storm, what was happening. So we were all in the waiting area, and we prayed and lifted Dean up before the Lord. And the Bible says that you can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain his mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's what I did, because, he's my father. And I know the life that I was living was 24/7. And I didn't have to think about feeling bad or repenting or doing something and thinking, oh, God, and not having, where the enemy, he'll do that to you. He'll try and put you under condemnation over something that you have done. And you'll feel like that you cannot go boldly to the throne of grace, that you cannot be in relation with your heavenly Father. See, it wasn't like that for me. I was having a daily relationship with my heavenly Father. I knew who he was, and I knew that I could go boldly to his throne of grace. And we prayed. We asked God. We didn't beg him. We thanked him for the outcome. Even though I didn't get to see him right away. I didn't get to see Dean right away. They were still working on him. I didn't know what was going on in that room. But at that time, you know, the Lord gave me a song to sing. And it goes like this, just a little bit of it. And it's by Hillsong. And after we were finished praying, I said, I feel like singing. I said, I just feel like praising God right now. And I said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My heart joys in God, my Savior, for he lifts the lowly, and he's done great things for me. I will sing, praising evermore. He is mighty. Hallelujah. How many of you know he's mighty? He is mighty, and holy is his name. So just during at that time, I mean, I believe that the Lord just gave me that song to sing. And I don't know why, but in the midst of that storm, in the midst of that situation, in those circumstances, I praised God. And the later on, the doctor comes in the room and he tells me about Dean's situation. And he said that how things looked like they were come and go, and he said, but I want you to know something. Keep up the prayers. Because he felt that that was the only thing that was going to get Dean through himself. He said, you need to keep up the prayers. And of course we did. Well, I also want you to know that that night I didn't stay at the hospital with Dean, because I made up my mind that I needed to go home and I needed to be the one to stand in the gap for my husband. My children were both at college. My son wanted to come home, but he said, Mom, I prayed and I believe God wants me to stay right where I am. And they prayed and they put their dad on through the email and was telling other people to pray and intercede. Because I went home and I thought, well, they'll put me out the hospital if I stay here, because I'm determined in my heart. I'm going to pray long, hard, and loud. So it was going to be pretty loud, and I was going to be, this was a battle, and I wanted to win. You know what I mean? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's good. He's good. So I went home, and I prayed, and I interceded for Dean, and I told the devil he was a liar. And I said, you demons of death, I command you to take your hands off my husband. See, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief, the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I told the Lord God, I said, you know what? Lord, Dean is not living the abundant life right now. But you said he can live the abundant life. So I claim that abundant life for him. That's exactly what I did. And I went, and for the next three to four mornings, I found myself coming home each night praying and interceding for Dean. I would be on the floor, and that's where I'd wake up the next morning. And I just pray for him and intercede for him. Well, lo and behold, I get to the hospital the next morning, and they tell me that your husband needs to be transferred to a different hospital because his kidneys are shutting down. They didn't function all night. Multiple organs were shutting down. His lungs were filling with fluid. He was going into septic shock. Everything was just, you know, going against him. But still, I said, no, the devil is a liar. So Dean goes to the hospital, and he has to be transferred by ambulance to the hospital with a nurse, because about this time he's on so much medication, fluids, and he's intubated about this time. The breathing machine is doing 100% of the breathing for him. And he got sent to that hospital by ambulance with the sirens going. Now, my husband told me later that he always wanted to ride in an ambulance, but he had no clue he was in this one. So he didn't get to really, you know, ride in an ambulance like he thought he would have wanted to, but he thought it would be kind of fun. But they were rushing him there with the sirens going and all that stuff. But praise God, they got him there, and a nurse went with him because she had to monitor, do all the monitoring of the machines and the pumps and suction him if they needed to and things like that. You know, and I praise God. I stopped kind of right here because I knew several of the doctors and the nurses at the hospital, and even the hospital that he was about to be transferred to, Tacoma General. I knew some of the staff there and the nurses because I'm a nurse's aide, and so I had contact with some of them. So that was, that in itself was a plus. So I praised God for that. So he get there to the hospital, and he has a very, very good nurse, and I meet his nurse that morning, and his nurse name was Stan, and Stan was an awesome nurse. He was real positive, and Stan talked about how he didn't want anything negative in Dean's room, and I thought, ooh, man, this nurse going to get along just fine, because I don't want nothing negative in here either. And I told him, no TV, do not turn the TV on. I don't want any secular anything in here, and I don't turn this TV on. Please leave it off. Because I know how they like to turn the TV on in patients' rooms. So they got Dean all hooked up to the kidney dialysis, and we had more friends who came in to pray for Dean. And it was just awesome, and just the love and the prayer and the intercession that went forth for him. I went home again that night, and I interceded for Dean, but because, you know, I had, you know, the Bible, you know, whose report will you believe? You know, I showed the doctors, they could tell you all these reports, they could tell you all these things, and I didn't deny there was any negative report. I just refused to believe it, because I chose to believe the report of the Lord. So I went home that night because the doctors had told me that, you know, it's your husband's really bad. He's pretty critical. And I had a friend that was working there at that hospital, and she also told me, she didn't know it was my husband at the time, and she said I saw him coming in, and I looked at him, and I thought, wow, he is tore up. I was like, well, thanks, girl, you know. And she said also, you know, that she had asked the nurses, and she goes, is he all right? And they looked at her, and they said, no, he's not all right. What are you talking about? And so I went home that night and prayed and interceded for Dean some more. And they had told me that due to the fact that they worked on your husband for an hour and 45 minutes, if he does come out of this, he could have brain damage. And I thought, okay. So I went home and I prayed and I interceded and I just cried out loud and I just beat the floor and I was in a, it was a war. It was a spiritual warfare. And as I prayed and interceded for Dean and I would pray for him long hours of the night. And as I prayed, I could feel the fire of God on me. I felt heat just all over my body and sweat just began to just drip from my body. And I had this nightshirt on, and I took it off, and I laid it on a chair. But I took it to the hospital with me the next morning. Because if you read in Acts, it talks about the handkerchiefs and the aprons and the anointing that flows. And I took that nightshirt, and I laid it on Dean's head the next day. How y'all think he looked with a nightshirt on his head? But that's okay. The nurse kind of said something about it, but I didn't pay any attention to her. So I laid that nightshirt on his head and I just left it there as long as I stayed there. And you know, I remembered praying for Dean and I said to the Father, I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I curse every negative word and every negative prayer that would be spoken over my husband. And I curse it in Jesus' name. And I said, I refuse to receive anything in his room other than life. See, because the word of God is life. It's life. Amen? Praise God. His word is life. And God honors his word. So I tuck it there, and I had that on Dean's head. And we had friends who came in. We just prayed and interceded for Dean. And I remember that following Sunday, we had church out in the waiting area. And it was just so awesome. And we just worshiped and we praised God. And one of the guys had fallen out on the power of God in the waiting area. And people are coming on and off the elevator and looking and seeing what was going on. But we were just praising God. And then I remember four of the guys had went and prayed for Dean afterward. And one other thing that happened to Dean while he was there, because he was on so much medication, and a lot of it was blood pressure medication, his toes had begun to turn black and blue, and he had lost circulation in his feet. They were cold. His toes were black and blue, like I said, and things were just, they didn't look good from the eye, but I walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. So we continued to pray for Dean, and we lifted him up before the Lord, and we thank God. We just thanked him for what he was doing, even though sometimes the circumstances still looked bad. And I can remember my son and my daughter calling and home and encouraging me and giving me scripture to read. And my son would call. He would bug the doctors and nurses every day and see how his dad was doing. And the children, they just really stayed on it. And I can remember one night my son calling home, and I was crying, and he said, "Mom, what's the matter?" I said, "I just miss your dad. I miss him so much." And when a person, when a loved one goes in for something minor that turns out to be so major, you just don't think that you could lose someone so quickly, but it could happen like that. And I would have never thought that that would happen to me, and that I would see my husband in the condition that he was in, because during that whole time, he'd probably gained about 30 pounds of just fluid in his body, and he was just swelling up so bad because of his kidneys not function and other organs not functioning. But Dean spent 13 days in the hospital, and 9 days was in ICU. And, you know, but at the same time, the Lord was still just so good. He was just so good and so gracious, and I could see the hand of God still upon Dean's life and upon his health. And you know, on May the 8th, his parents showed up, and his mom and I would pray over him, and we would read scripture to him, even though, you know, they said that the hearing is the last thing to go when a person is dying, and that they could still hear you. So we would make sure that we would sing and read scripture to him, and you know, we would pray for him. And I like Psalms 103. And I would always say Psalms 103 over Dean, and I say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And I said, "Lord, I thank you that Dean has not forgotten your benefits, for you forgive all Dean's iniquities. You heal all Dean's diseases. You redeem Dean's life from destruction. You crown Dean with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that Dean's mouth is, you satisfy Dean's mouth with good things, so that his youth is renewed like the eagles." And so I would just quote the word and speak the word and just trust God. And I want you to know that even during this time, you want to think, did she ever doubt that there was something that, you know, did she go through, you know, the battle of the mind? Well, you know, one time I can remember the enemy coming to me and just saying, "Get the funeral ready." And then I said, "No, I cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring every one of my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And I refuse it. I reject that in the name of Jesus. But for 5 days, Dean was just totally out of it. And he had no clue that he was there. You know, he didn't know that he was even in the hospital still. He was just not in his self. But during that time, his blood pressure was up and down. the white blood counts would go up, and they would think that infection was starting to settle in his body some more, and they would take him to get a CAT scan, and his potassium would be low. You know, some days they would put him on the, you know, the ventilator would have to, would go down 50%, and things were starting to look okay, and then they'd have to, it'd go back up. So, you know, you were kind of just on a roller coaster sometime, and they'd take him off of, the different medications and just started to, wean him off of these things. But, on May the 9th, I can remember, coming home, and I had purposed in my heart, I says, okay, I'm going to pray all night if I have to. I'm going to intercede for Dean all night if I have to. And I can remember a friend of mine, of ours, calling, and he said that that same night that he was going to, he says, I'm really tired of this. I'm going to intercede for Dean all night if I have to, not knowing that I had said the same thing and was had purposed in my heart to do the same thing. And I just thank the Lord so much for everyone who stepped out and who prayed for Dean and who stood in the gap for him. And I'll never be ungrateful for those prayers. I'll always be grateful, and I'll always be thankful for others who stood in the gap for my husband and for their friend. And that's how we should be for each other in the body of Christ. And just as if they were our own loved ones. So I would encourage you to do that. Praise the Lord. So on May the 10th, they told me that Dean was back to May 9th. His kidneys were starting to function a little bit, and they were everybody was looking hopeful, and they were real happy, the doctors and nurses. And I can remember one of the nurses that Dean had said they had to make sure that Dean could follow cues now, because they were really thinking that he was going to have brain damage. And, you know, to follow cues, they get you to, you know, wink or your eye or squeeze your hand or move your feet or toes or you know, do something so that they know that you are all there. So they kind of check that out with Dean a little bit on May the 9th. But on May 10th, things were starting to happen rapidly, and the doctors couldn't believe it. And I can remember one of the doctors saying, wow, he's improving 200 to 300%, and so fast. We didn't think that this was going to happen. This is a miracle. He's, you know, starting to improve so fast. But they took go take a long lunch break, and that they would take the ventilator out of Dean's mouth, the breathing tube, and take him off the kidney dialysis at the same time, because he was on a continuous kidney dialysis, and it was filtering out the toxins in his blood. Because what we found out was when they went to break up those stones, they released the toxins into his bloodstream, and that was starting to cause his body to become sepsis. And so he was really really bad. But when we got back, it was an awesome thing to see Dean sitting up in the bed and looking at us. And it was just beautiful. And he did not have to have any more, you know, the oxygen or he did still have the nasal oxygen, but he didn't have to have that big breathing tube. He was breathing on his own. They told us to go for a long lunch break, because when they take you off of a breathing machine, they give you another treatment just to make sure that you can stay off of it completely, and making sure that they don't have to put you back on. But he was taken off of that breathing machine, and we just thanked the Lord for that. And he was fully awake, and just to see the miracle of God. And there were so many people who came by who told, nurses who didn't even take care of him as a patient, and they said, he is a miracle. This is a miracle. And last week, even when I worked at the hospital, people still say, how's your husband? He's a miracle. I know he's a miracle. And they acknowledge the fact that prayer and that God did work in his life. And so they do not deny that. And so we are so blessed and so grateful for what God has done. And I just stand here today just to encourage you to trust in God and trust him all the way to the end. And I like to say that, you know, we have people that are raising people from the dead, and they don't raise, everybody doesn't get raised from the dead, and all this stuff doesn't take place. But stay, fight the good fight of faith. Just have faith. Just trust God for his promise. And you know, and there's a song that talks about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never saw what was promised, but they never once felt forsaken. So when you don't always see the results that you want to see, don't feel forsaken. God has not forsaken you. His word is true. His promises are there. But just trust him to meet every need, to meet every need, and he will. And I stand here today just telling you my husband is a living testimony of what God has done. Afterwards, he came home. He went, he stayed home for a little while to recover. His toes are completely healed. He's not on any medications. He's back to work full time. When he's gone for checkups, the doctors would still be amazed at the recovery that has taken place in his body. And his doctor, who is, was she Chinese? She's Chinese, and she's just an awesome lady. And she said, I want you to know that people prayed hard for you. So she knows. She says, she wanted him to know that people prayed hard for him during that time. And so it was a great thing to see him be totally healed by the power of God. Amen.